It took a week and a half to gather and count the votes in the Democratic primary for Cook County State's Attorney. Eileen O'Neill Burke is now the nominee. There didn't even have to be a primary on the Republican side. And the GOP nominee this weekend is my guest. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. My guest is indeed attorney Robert Fioretti, a former Chicago alderman and the Republican candidate for Cook County State's Attorney. He served two terms as a second ward Chicago alderman. Mr. Fioretti says his focus on the council was providing high quality services throughout the city. Bob Fioretti has run for a few offices since his city council days, including mayor and county board president. I believe he has yet to win one of those elections. He is a longtime civil rights lawyer and a cancer survivor and serves with a number of charitable and professional organizations, and we're glad to have him. Bob Fioretti, welcome back.
Good to be. Thank you very much.
Well, Bob, you entered this race before you knew who the Democratic candidate would be. So tell us why you're running and why you think you can win in heavily Democratic Cook County.
Well, I'm running to restore the mission of this office of the state's attorney, to represent the victims of crime, to restore the rule of law, to break the cycle of crime and corruption that we see throughout this county, and at the same time to make sure that the people of this county are safe and to reform a seriously flawed office. I do believe I can win this race. There is change happening out there. I think Republicans, along with Fioretti type Democrats, are seeing the problems that we have in our streets, and they want change. And yes, it is a heavy Democratic county, but everywhere I'm going, I've walked down the streets today. A number of people have said good luck to me as I was downtown and saying that. And I can see the change happening both in Black communities, Hispanic communities, Asian communities, the white communities, city, suburb. They all want safe communities. They're tired of seeing what they see throughout the county of storefronts, cars being driven through them, cars being carjacked, shoplifting, those that are committing petty theft with impunity. Chain stores are moving out of this county because it's too costly to keep up with theft. Billionaires are moving out because their employees are afraid to come downtown. Suburbanites even are, and city residents are not coming downtown for dinner or theater. Many are afraid to go to the sporting events because they're too afraid to be carjacked. It's as simple as that. I am running to restore the rule of law.
You know, the phrase tough on crime has been a campaign catchphrase in many campaigns for years. What does being tough on crime, if in fact you believe in that, what does it mean to you?
It's enforcing the law. We have systems here in place. We have laws that should be fully enforced. It also means that we should back our police officers and making sure that when they do the job, prosecutors will prosecute those that they've arrested for the crimes that they've committed. And that's what I see as tough on law. We have a lot of specialty courts, diversionary courts that will deal with first-time offenders or offenders. And together, I think we can all work together, as I said earlier, to make this a safe county.
As a private attorney, Bob, you have fought to free people wrongly accused of crimes. Those were people accused of crimes by police and prosecutors. So you know the system can get it wrong. How would you balance the policing, the kind of policing that you're talking about, and accountability?
Well, as opposed to what my opponent has done in her past, I see that you have to be critical of the evidence you're going to present to the court. You're going to have to be questioning to the police officers who are bringing the evidence before you. But we have to work through felony review. We have to have an understanding. We are not in loggerheads with the police, which they are now. They can't get along, the police and the state's attorneys. We need to bring them together to work together and solve the crime and work forward and then bring that evidence to court based upon the evidence, the facts, the law, to have successful prosecutions.
What are the things that the state's attorney's office can do to make sure that it is a cooperative endeavor, but is still making sure that the evidence is there, that the evidence is real, which, you know, sadly in Chicago, that's something that people have to worry about.
Well, again, I think it's how you question where the evidence comes from and make sure it's going to be a tight case. When you look at many of the wrongful convictions that we had, they were many of them are based on their only piece of evidence is a supposed or forced coerced confession, and that's it. So we'll take a look at that. Hopefully there is additional evidence, but we go forward from there in the court system.
I do want to ask you about the current state's attorney. Kim Fox worked to reduce the county's jail population, and it is down. Do you feel that's been a laudable goal?
Well, the problem with what we've introduced the Safety Act way before the Safety Act became law here. The three, with the state's attorney, the county board, the leadership of this county tried to balance the budget by shutting down the jail and letting the criminals run loose and without regards to the people's public safety. And we see what's happening in our streets. So if it's a laudable, no. It's something that we really need to change the understanding of what's happening in our bail courts. We need to restore discretion to our judges. They must be able and have the ability to look at the offender in front of them, look at that offender's record, look what that individual type of crime has been committed. Is it a violent crime or not? Is he a threat to the community, or she is a threat to the community or to the victims? And is he or she is a flight risk? Those are the things that has been taken away from the judges, and they should be restored.
Well, let's talk about that in that part of the Safety Act, because as you point out, among other things, the much debated Safety Act effectively ended cash bail in Illinois. We have been talking about and debating bond reform for decades. You oppose the end of cash bail, but what you just described to me about the judges deciding, you know, whether or not to hold someone, isn't that what's happening now? It seems as if state's attorneys throughout this area are managing to hold dangerous suspects awaiting trial. So why are you opposed to the end of cash bail?
I'm opposed to it for the reasons that discretion has been taken away from the judges. They should be able to make a determination on it. And there have been many violent criminals that have been let go because of the way the charges have been brought against the individuals. And I think we need to restore that. And I think it would begin to have safer streets for us all.
But as I understand it, what has to happen is if someone is accused of a crime, the state's attorney's office can petition to have a hearing, a detention hearing. And it is the judge's discretion, the judge's ruling, that decides if evidence is presented that the person is a danger, they must be held without bail, forget the cash, they just are just held. Why is that not A, what is happening now? It seems as if it, I mean, I get press releases from the DuPage County State's Attorney's Office almost every day telling me about somebody who was held based on their hearing. Why is that not working?
Because the state's attorney in DuPage and many of our surrounding counties look at the charges and they're bringing charges that fit the crime and not reducing things down to a misdemeanor. So we see that happening often here in this county. And those that we do detain are on very violent crimes, which should have been upgraded anyway in the first place. So the problem, as you describe it, is how we're handling our court system and how we handle the victims instead of letting them go, which has really been the philosophy of this state's attorney, and shutting, like I said, shutting down the jail. Because they both Tony Preckwinkle and Kim Fox are trying to balance the budget by shutting down the jail and letting the criminals run loose here.
Explain, though, why cash makes this different. That if the judge, because it's the judge who's making the decision anyway, whether it's a hearing about cash bail or whether it's a detention hearing, but why does the cash part of it make sense?
Because it ensures that the individual will show up for trial. That's the purpose of it. It always has been. And to eliminate some of the items such as cash bail creates a system of where people run loose. Now they send them a postcard that you didn't show up or you're not showing up. We're having a serious problem overall, and I think the numbers will reflect it on what's happening with those that have been given cash bond that don't show up or electronic monitoring. I mean, I was just driving down Ogden 2 days ago, and it was pointed out to me, look at the guys on the corner that are standing there, and one of them had his electronic monitoring device on. Our system needs to be looked at fully, and I plan on doing that and working with the 100 other state's attorneys that oppose the Safety Act and see if we can make constructive changes in there.
Let's talk about another element of who's held and who's not. Illinois has set a threshold of $300 for felonies and retail theft cases. You were alluding to that a little earlier. Kim Fox, for her office, raised it to $1,000 threshold before a case is a felony in retail theft. And when we've asked her about it, she was saying we need to focus going to trial for more violent cases and not be sending people to jail and going to trial for lesser cases. What do you think of that move?
I think she should talk to the shop owners. As you know, I'm opposed to the $300 amount. I'm going to enforce the law as it is written, and that's $1,000. And I think that will stop some of this shoplifting and committing petty theft that is happening by sometimes, as we see on these videos out there, of hundreds of people running into stores and taking things. It's keeping shop owners, especially in the black and brown communities, they're suffering the most. They are feeling it. And they're leaving their communities because they can't keep up with what is happening in their own stores.
Now, does this mean, though, that people who are accused of felonies for those lesser amounts, should those people be in jail? Should they be jailed for that?
Meaning after conviction?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think we have a lot of specialty courts that are underutilized sometimes in the system, and we can deal with first-time offenders. And we should put them into programs and try to figure out what's happening there after the conviction and see what needs to be done. And after a certain period of time, it can be taken off of their record if they abide by what's necessary to become a good citizen in their community.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Dellamore. My guest is Bob Fioretti, Republican candidate for Cook County State's Attorney. Let's talk about the thing that I think many voters are talking about, and that's gun crimes. How can the state's attorney's office help to bring down the number of shootings and murders? I mean, obviously, they're not the police, but what role does the state's attorney's office have in cracking down on gun crimes?
Well, that's another issue that the state's attorney has failed us. We should prosecute fully those that have illegal guns on the streets when they're found. We have a whole system when police officers stop somebody, what they have to write, what their programs are, how to get that individual into our court system. And those that have illegal guns, those that commit crimes with guns, should be prosecuted to the fullest. And right now, it's not happening here in this county.
What do you think is happening? What do you believe is going on? Because what we're being told is that, in fact, the reason why we're seeing, more prosecutors on violence cases is to get the guns off the street, is to get the gun criminals off the street.
They are dropping the charges in that office down to some of the lowest levels. The morale of the state's attorney's office is as low as you can get. A lot of the new attorneys are afraid to make the hard decisions, and those because they feel they're going to be terminated if they make the wrong decision. Time has come that we really need to look at what's happening over there and enforce the laws as they are written. We should cooperate with our police. We should make sure that those police officers that the state's attorney has their back. If they bring in those that are violating the law, this office under my administration will bring the appropriate charges that are necessary.
Do you believe we need more restrictions on access to guns, like age restrictions or a ban on the sales of so-called assault weapons? Those are the kinds of weapons that we're seeing more on the streets. There are people there. I mean, there are neighborhoods where they recognize the sound of automatic gunfire, nightly.
I've heard it here in my neighborhood, and I'm on the West Loop. Again, the question is, those that have illegal guns will continue to have illegal guns. It's not on how the restrictions are. Yes, you should have the restrictions that are currently in place on age, how we utilize them, who can have access to them, making sure you have training, but at the same time, we need to enforce the law. And again, those that are in our communities and shooting people are doing it with illegal guns that have been given to them, passed on in the streets.
The city of Chicago is spending hundreds of millions of dollars, in some cases yearly, settling and paying judgments in police misconduct cases. How can there be reform without making police officers feel that they're being attacked or someone is second guessing every move they make? Because that is a complaint we hear from them.
Look, there are 99.9% of the police officer that is on the street is a good cop. We've seen the problem with the few, and those few committed a lot of the problems. It's repeated over and over again that minimum, maybe 20 or 30 of them that are out there. That have been out there, that are I see no longer. But I've always said effective training, I would recruit, we train them, we give them training throughout the year, throughout their period of time. We give them rest. We pay them adequately. We make sure that they are not overworked. There is one of the toughest jobs on the street is being a police officer. He or she runs to the scene of the crime, not the other way around, not running back from that crime. So I see our police officers out there doing one heck of a job to protect us, and I applaud each and every one of them. And I think with the proper supervision, they will have the number of police misconduct cases will be cut down.
What can be done to make sure that the justice system itself isn't markedly different for Black, Brown, and poor people versus, you know, white people or more affluent people?
Well, first of all, I sort of take a somewhat of a different approach than what the spectrum of what you just defined.
Okay.
There was a movie, Alfred Hitchcock came out with a movie in the 50s. I think it may have been called The Wrong Man. It was about somebody that was arrested, an Italian who was arrested. And Alfred Hitchcock, instead of appearing as he walks through some of his scenes, starts off at the beginning. And this was a wrongful identification of somebody. So the problems that we see sometimes with lineups, with certain type of identifications, are the problems that we have to make sure that we have the right people in there. The biggest problem right now is where is all the shooting happening? Who are being victimized? What communities are being victimized? The Black and Brown communities are those that are being victimized by many of their own people. Craig, I've talked to many, many churches and parishes, and I on Sunday services, and I say to them, we all know who's doing the crime in our neighborhoods, and I see maybe 20 to 30% of that congregation heads go up and down, and they acknowledge, they know who it is. It could be their grandson, their son, the kid next door. It's time to start laying down the law the way it should be. Parents taking responsibility, guardians taking responsibility, and taking back those guns right now to stop the violence in our communities.
I want to turn to pure politics right now. Why do you feel that former Judge Eileen O'Neill Burke, the Democratic nominee, is not a good choice to be state's attorney? Because frankly, a lot of the things that you have talked about are some things that she's talked about, the alternative courts, about not holding to that that $1,000 limit. So in some things you're saying similar things on. Why is she not the choice?
Well, first of all, I don't believe she has the experience, the knowledge, the temperament, the ability, and the integrity to run that office. I started off to make sure that the mission is restored to that office, to represent the victims of crime, restore the rule of law, break this whole cycle of crime and corruption. She's just a product of the Democratic machine. She paid $40,000 to make sure she got on the appellate court to Ed Burke, Mike Madigan, and others who led the Democratic Party. She's the same type of person who will not create change in that office. She also doesn't have the experience. I've tried cases throughout Cook County, throughout the neighboring counties, throughout this whole state, and surrounding states. I've had the confidence of state's attorneys, not here in Cook County, in DuPage, in Will County, to be appointed special assistant to represent the people of our counties and those counties. My caseloads have changed laws and how procedures, law enforcement is changed. At the same time, adoption laws, not just here in Illinois, but throughout the state. I've worked with all levels of government, local, state, federal, to make changes in what happens in our law. And you know, as Alderman, I drafted, introduced, and built coalitions that passed not just a few ordinances, but hundreds of ordinances that affected the safety and welfare, not just of the people of the Second Ward, but everybody throughout the county. I have a lifelong record of public service. And my question is, where has she been? And as an elected official and as a private trial attorney, I've represented the people. I fought for them. You can ask anybody in my ward, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, that I represented them. And when I'm elected, I'm going to build the type of coalition throughout this county of citizens, of police, faith-based communities, to make this county the safest county, to make that office as professional as can be, and restore the professionalism in that office.
And when you ask where O'Neill Burke has been, I'm sure she would and has answered she was on the bench judging cases. Is that not also the kind of experience that is needed? And can you say she is a product of the machine if she, in fact, wasn't the machine's if you say there is a machine in Cook County anymore, she wasn't the slated candidate?
Well, it was she was off the click to endorse the machine when she announced her prevailing over the other side. Her and Tony Preckwinkle got together awfully quick. I sometimes wonder, I've heard it on the streets, was it all a setup between the two? You see what's happening out there. And I'm a certified mediator. In fact, this weekend, I'm judging certain cases on what needs to be done for a national competition of lawsuits. I say that because she really doesn't have the experience. Somebody can be up there on the bench and say certain things, but overall, it really is how you look at things. What you need to do, and my experience supersedes how to run that office over her.
Bob Fioretti, thank you very much. So Bob Fioretti is the Republican candidate for Cook County State's Attorney. I thank you very much for joining us. To our listeners, if you would like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website, WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage. You can also find our podcasts on Audacy.com. That's AUDACY. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Dellamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM. It took a week and a half to gather and count the votes in the Democratic primary for Cook County State's Attorney. Eileen O'Neill Burke is now the nominee. There didn't even have to be a primary on the Republican side. And the GOP nominee this weekend is my guest. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Dellamore, and this is At Issue. My guest is indeed attorney Robert Fioretti, a former Chicago alderman and the Republican candidate for Cook County State's Attorney. He served two terms as a Second Ward Chicago alderman. Mr. Fioretti says his focus on the council was providing high-quality services throughout the city. Bob Fioretti has run for a few offices since his city council days, including mayor and county board president. I believe he has yet to win one of those elections. He is a longtime civil rights lawyer and a cancer survivor and serves with a number of charitable and professional organizations, and we're glad to have him. Bob Fioretti, welcome back.
Good to be. Thank you very much.
Well, Bob, you entered this race before you knew who the Democratic candidate would be. So tell us why you're running and why you think you can win in heavily Democratic Cook County.
Well, I'm running to restore the mission of this office of the state's attorney, to represent the victims of crime, to restore the rule of law, to break the cycle of crime and corruption that we see throughout this county, and at the same time to make sure that the people of this county are safe and to reform a seriously flawed office. I do believe I can win this race. There is change happening out there. I think Republicans, along with Fioretti type Democrats, are seeing the problems that we have in our streets, and they want change. And yes, it is a heavy Democratic county, but everywhere I'm going, I've walked down the streets today, a number of people have said good luck to me as I was downtown and saying that. And I can see the change happening both in Black communities, Hispanic communities, Asian communities, the white communities, city, suburb. They all want safe communities. They're tired of seeing what they see throughout the county of storefronts, cars being driven through them, cars being carjacked, shoplifting, those that are committing petty theft with impunity. Chain stores are moving out of this county because it's too costly to keep up with theft. Billionaires are moving out because their employees are afraid to come downtown. Suburbanites even are, and city residents are not coming downtown for dinner or theater. Many are afraid to go to the sporting events because they're too afraid to be carjacked. It's as simple as that. I am running to restore the rule of law.
You know, the phrase tough on crime has been a campaign catchphrase in many campaigns for years. What does being tough on crime, if in fact you believe in that, what does it mean to you?
It's enforcing the law. We have systems here in place. We have laws that should be fully enforced. It also means that we should back our police officers and making sure that when they do the job, prosecutors will prosecute those that they've arrested for the crimes that they've committed. And that's what I see as tough on law. We have a lot of specialty courts, diversionary courts that will deal with first-time offenders or offenders. And together, I think we can all work together, as I said earlier, to make this a safe county.
As a private attorney, Bob, you have fought to free people wrongly accused of crimes. Those were people accused of crimes by police and prosecutors. So you know the system can get it wrong. How would you balance the policing, the kind of policing that you're talking about, and accountability?
Well, as opposed to what my opponent has done in her past, I see that you have to be critical of the evidence you're going to present to the court. You're going to have to be questioning to the police officers who are bringing the evidence before you. But we have to work through felony review. We have to have an understanding. We are not in loggerheads with the police, which they are now. They can't get along, the police and the state's attorneys. We need to bring them together to work together and solve the crime and work forward and then bring that evidence to court based upon the evidence, the facts, the law, to have successful prosecutions.
What are the things that the state's attorney's office can do to make sure that it is a cooperative endeavor, but is still making sure that the evidence is there, that the evidence is real, which, you know, sadly in Chicago, that's something that people have to worry about.
Well, again, I think it's how you question where the evidence comes from and make sure it's going to be a tight case. When you look at many of the wrongful convictions that we had, they were many of them are based on their only piece of evidence is a supposed or forced coerced confession, and that's it. So we'll take a look at that. Hopefully there is additional evidence, but we go forward from there in the court system.
I do want to ask you about the current state's attorney. Kim Fox worked to reduce the county's jail population, and it is down. Do you feel that's been a laudable goal?
Well, the problem with what we've introduced the Safety Act way before the Safety Act became law here. The three, with the state's attorney, the county board, the leadership of this county tried to balance the budget by shutting down the jail and letting the criminals run loose and without regards to the people's public safety. And we see what's happening in our streets. So if it's laudable, no. It's something that we really need to change the understanding of what's happening in our bail courts. We need to restore discretion to our judges. They must be able and have the ability to look at the offender in front of them, look at that offender's record, look what that individual type of crime has been committed. Is it a violent crime or not? Is he a threat to the community, or she is a threat to the community or to the victims? And is he or she is a flight risk? Those are the things that has been taken away from the judges, and they should be restored.
Well, let's talk about that in that part of the Safety Act, because as you point out, among other things, the much debated Safety Act effectively ended cash bail in Illinois. We have been talking about and debating bond reform for decades. You oppose the end of cash bail, but what you just described to me about the judges deciding, you know, whether or not to hold someone, isn't that what's happening now? It seems as if state's attorneys throughout this area are managing to hold dangerous suspects awaiting trial. So why are you opposed to the end of cash bail?
I'm opposed to it for the reasons that discretion has been taken away from the judges. They should be able to make a determination on it. And there have been many violent criminals that have been let go because of the way the charges have been brought against the individuals. And I think we need to restore that. And I think it would begin to have safer streets for us all.
But as I understand it, what has to happen is if someone is accused of a crime, the state's attorney's office can petition to have a hearing, a detention hearing. And it is the judge's discretion, the judge's ruling, that decides if evidence is presented that the person is a danger, they must be held without bail, without, forget the cash, they are just held. Why is that not, A, what is happening now? It seems as if I get press releases from the DuPage County State's Attorney's Office almost every day telling me about somebody who was held based on their hearing. Why is that not working?
Because the state's attorney in DuPage and many of our surrounding counties look at the charges, and they're bringing charges that fit the crime and not reducing things down to a misdemeanor. So we see that happening often here in this county. And those that we do detain are on very violent crimes, which should have been upgraded anyway in the first place. So the problem, as you describe it, is how we're handling our court system and how we handle the victims instead of letting them go, which has really been the philosophy of this state's attorney, and shutting down the jail, because they both Tony Preckwinkle and Kim Fox are trying to balance the budget by shutting down the jail and letting the criminals run loose here.
Explain, though, why cash makes this different. That if the judge, because it's the judge who's making the decision anyway, whether it's a hearing about cash bail or whether it's a detention hearing, but why does the cash part of it make sense?
Because it ensures that the individual will show up for trial. That's the purpose of it. It always has been. And to eliminate some of the items such as cash bail creates a system of where people run loose. Now they send them a postcard that you didn't show up or you're not showing up. We're having a serious problem overall, and I think the numbers will reflect it on what's happening with those that have been given cash bond that don't show up, or electronic monitoring. I mean, I was just driving down Ogden 2 days ago, and it was pointed out to me, look at the guys on the corner that are standing there, and one of them had his electronic monitoring device on. Our system needs to be looked at fully, and I plan on doing that and working with the 100 other state's attorneys that oppose the Safety Act and see if we can make constructive changes in there.
Let's talk about another element of who's held and who's not. Illinois has set a threshold of $300 for felonies and retail theft cases. You were alluding to that a little earlier. Kim Fox, for her office, raised it to $1,000 threshold before a case is a felony in retail theft. And when we've asked her about it, she was saying we need to focus going to trial for more violent cases and not be sending people to jail and going to trial for lesser cases. What do you think of that move?
I think she should talk to the shop owners. As you know, I'm opposed to the $300 amount. I'm going to enforce the law as it is written, and that's $1,000. And I think that will stop some of this shoplifting and committing petty theft that is happening by sometimes, as we see on these videos out there, of hundreds of people running into stores and taking things. It's keeping shop owners, especially in the black and brown communities, they're suffering the most. They are feeling it. And they're leaving their communities because they can't keep up with what is happening in their own stores.
Now, does this mean, though, that people who are accused of felonies for those lesser amounts, should those people be in jail? Should they be jailed for that?
Meaning after conviction?
Yes.
Well, I think we have a lot of specialty courts that are underutilized sometimes in the system. And we can deal with first-time offenders. And we should put them into programs and try to figure out what's happening there after the conviction and see what needs to be done. And after a certain period of time, it can be taken off of their record if they abide by what's necessary to become a good citizen in their community.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore. My guest is Bob Fioretti, Republican candidate for Cook County State's Attorney. Let's talk about the thing that I think many voters are talking about, and that's gun crimes. How can the state's attorney's office help to bring down the number of shootings and murders? I mean, obviously, they're not the police, but what role does the state's attorney's office have in cracking down on gun crimes?
Well, that's another issue that the state's attorney has failed us. We should prosecute fully those that have illegal guns on the streets when they're found. We have a whole system when police officers stop somebody, what they have to write, what their programs are, how to get that individual into our court system. And those that have illegal guns, those that commit crimes with guns, should be prosecuted to the fullest. And right now, it's not happening here in this county.
What do you think is happening? What do you believe is going on? Because what we're being told is that, in fact, the reason why we're seeing, more prosecutors on violence cases is to get the guns off the street, is to get the gun criminals off the street.
They are dropping the charges in that office down to some of the lowest levels. The morale of the state's attorney's office is as low as you can get. A lot of the new attorneys are afraid to make the hard decisions, and those because they feel they're going to be terminated if they make the wrong decision. Time has come that we really need to look at what's happening over there and enforce the laws as they are written. We should cooperate with our police. We should make sure that those police officers, that the state's attorney has their back. If they bring in those that are violating the law, this office under my administration will bring the appropriate charges that are necessary.
Do you believe we need more restrictions on access to guns, like age restrictions or a ban on the sales of so-called assault weapons? Those are the kinds of weapons that we're seeing more on the streets. There are people there. I mean, there are neighborhoods where they recognize the sound of automatic gunfire, nightly.
I've heard it here in my neighborhood, and I'm on the West Loop. Again, the question is, those that have illegal guns will continue to have illegal guns. It's not on how the restrictions are. Yes, you should have the restrictions that are currently in place on age, how we utilize them, who can have access to them, making sure you have training, but at the same time, we need to enforce the law. And again, those that are in our communities and shooting people are doing it with illegal guns that have been given to them, passed on in the streets.
The city of Chicago is spending hundreds of millions of dollars, in some cases yearly, settling and paying judgments in police misconduct cases. How can there be reform without making police officers feel that they're being attacked or someone is second guessing every move they make? Because that is a complaint we hear from them.
Look, there are 99.9% of the police officer that is on the street is a good cop. We've seen the problem with the few, and those few committed a lot of the problems. It's repeated over and over again, that minimum, maybe 20 or 30 of them that are out there. That have been out there that are I see no longer. But I've always said effective training, how we recruit, we train them, we give them training throughout the year, throughout their period of time. We give them rest, we pay them adequately, we make sure that they are not overworked. There is one of the toughest jobs on the street is being a police officer. He or she runs to the scene of the crime, not the other way around, not running back from that crime. So I see our police officers out there doing one heck of a job to protect us, and I applaud each and every one of them. And I think with the proper supervision, they will have the number of police misconduct cases will be cut down.
What can be done to make sure that the justice system itself isn't markedly different for black, brown, and poor people versus, white people or more affluent people?
First of all, I sort of take somewhat of a different approach than what the spectrum of what you just defined.
Okay.
There was a movie, Alfred Hitchcock came out with a movie in the 50s. I think it may have been called The Wrong Man. It was about somebody that was arrested, an Italian who was arrested. And Alfred Hitchcock, instead of appearing as he walks through some of his scenes, starts off at the beginning. And this was a wrongful identification of somebody. The problems that we see sometimes with lineups, with certain type of identifications, are the problems that we have to make sure that we have the right people in there. The biggest problem right now is where is all the shooting happening? Who are being victimized? What communities are being victimized? The black and brown communities are those that are being victimized by many of their own people. Craig, I've talked to many, many churches and parishes, and on Sunday services, and I say to them, we all know who's doing the crime in our neighborhoods, and I see maybe 20 to 30% of that congregation heads go up and down, and they acknowledge they know who it is. It could be their grandson, their son, the kid next door. It's time to start laying down the law the way it should be. Parents taking responsibility, guardians taking responsibility, and taking back those guns right now to stop the violence in our communities.
I want to turn to pure politics right now. Why do you feel that former Judge Eileen O'Neill Burke, the Democratic nominee, is not a good choice to be state's attorney? Because frankly, a lot of the things that you have talked about are some things that she's talked about, the alternative courts, about not holding to that 300, excuse me, that $1,000 limit. So in some things you're saying similar things on. Why is she not the choice?
Well, first of all, I don't believe she has the experience, the knowledge, the temperament, the ability, and the integrity to run that office. I started off to make sure that the mission is restored to that office to represent the victims of crime, restore the rule of law, break this whole cycle of crime and corruption. She's just a product of the Democratic machine. She paid $40,000 to make sure she got on the appellate court to Ed Burke, Mike Madigan, and others who led the Democratic Party. She's the same type of person who will not create change in that office. She also doesn't have the experience. I've tried cases throughout Cook County, throughout the neighboring counties, throughout this whole state, the surrounding states. I've had the confidence of state's attorneys, not here in Cook County, in DuPage, in Will County, to be appointed special assistant to represent the people of our counties and those counties. My caseloads have changed laws and how procedures, law enforcement is changed. At the same time, adoption laws, not just here in Illinois, but throughout the state. I've worked with all levels of government, local, state, federal, to make changes in what happens in our law. And you know, as alderman, I drafted and introduced and built coalitions that passed not just a few ordinances, but hundreds of ordinances that affected the safety and welfare, not just of the people of the second ward, but everybody throughout the county. I have a lifelong record of public service. And my question is, where has she been? And as an elected official and as a private trial attorney, I've represented the people. I've fought for them. You can ask anybody in my ward, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, that I represented them. And when I'm elected, I'm going to build the type of coalition throughout this county of citizens, of police, faith-based communities to make this county the safest county, to make that office as professional as can be and restore the professionalism in that office.
And when you ask where O'Neill Burke has been, I'm sure she would and has answered she was on the bench judging cases. Is that not also the kind of experience that is needed? And can you say she is a product of the machine if she in fact wasn't the machine's if you say there is a machine in Cook County anymore, she wasn't the slated candidate?
Well, it was she was awfully quick to endorse the machine when she announced her prevailing over the other side. Her and Tony Preckwinkle got together awfully quick. I sometimes wonder, I've heard it on the streets, was it all a setup between the two? You see what's happening out there. And I'm a certified mediator. In fact, this weekend, I'm judging certain cases on what needs to be done for a national competition of lawsuits. I say that because she really doesn't have the experience. Somebody can be up there on the bench and say certain things, but overall, it really is how you look at things. What you need to do, and my experience supersedes how to run that office over her.
Bob Fioretti, thank you very much. So Bob Fioretti is the Republican candidate for Cook County State's Attorney. I thank you very much for joining us. To our listeners, if you would like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website, WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage. You can also find our podcasts on Audacy.com. That's AUDACY. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.